Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
We're here with Tasha Layton, and it has been a couple of years already since we've done this. Can you believe it?
You know, it feels like it's been a long time, and then in some sense, it feels like it was just yesterday, Jake.
We had to do this episode because it was a Thanksgiving episode last time. So here we are for another Thanksgiving episode.
Oh, I didn't realize that it was a Thanksgiving episode. That's awesome.
You were just pregnant. I think her name is Lila, right?
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Yes. I've been racking my brain all morning long. Like, I hope I get it right. Hallelujah.
We get everything. We get Layla. Gosh, what's the other one? I don't remember the other one. Even Lola. We get a lot of them.
Last time you were still pregnant with Lila, you were about 8 months, I think, at that time. No, 6 or 7.
Yeah, because I had her in February. So November, December. Yeah.
Math is terrible.
That's why I do music for a living.
Well, and it's been so long ago. And my wife was pregnant at the same time. She was a couple of months ahead.
I know. Yeah. I remember.
So we had this whole like pregnant, getting ready for baby vibe. Well, I wasn't pregnant, but there was pregnancy around the air.
Yeah. Yeah, we were.
Yeah. It's such a fun Thanksgiving episode. And now here we are 2 years later. There's all sorts of babies in the middle of all this. And man, so
aren't
much.
Aren't we blessed?
Happened. Oh my goodness.
We are so blessed. Both of ours are miracle babies. You know, I've talked about that, but I just feel so overwhelmed with gratitude. Even in the last couple of weeks, I've just been driving in my car in our neighborhood and I'll just burst into tears. And it's a good place to be. I mean, it's a really sweet season that we're in as a family and walking in our callings and yet just enjoying the fruit of what God's brought into our life in reference to our kids. It's just really sweet.
You know, I'll be on the floor playing with them or just even when they're fussing and crying and you sit and think about just the journey that's gone to that point. And people will tell me like, man, that's a large gap between them. Like, why'd you wait so long? It's like, well, not my plan. That wasn't our intention.
Yeah. We don't always get to decide.
But just seeing that and just watching, we almost kind of forgot it from our 10-year-old, some of the stuff, some of those steps, because like it's just so far gone. But just watching that happen again. And just the joy, just the smiles, watching each one of them be completely different is just so incredible.
And I think you probably block it from your memory too, the bad stuff, the hard nights and the teething and the everything. It's like you have PTSD from it. It's parenting is not for the faint of heart, for sure.
Oh, ain't that the truth? So our littlest one, our baby boy now, out of the three of them, he's the one that's not sleeping through the night. All the two of them, like about 6 months, 5-6 months, they just sacked out and life was good. But
yeah,
like I said, just each one of them is different. And that's his niche. It's just like, oh my gosh, dude, like, what did we go
Neither
wrong?
One of mine are sleeping through the night right now, 4-year-old and 20-month-old. And neither of them are sleeping through the night. I don't know what's going on, but mama and daddy are tired right now. We are really tired trying to figure out, because it's not always they need to be sleep trained. Sometimes it's sickness or teething or dreams or all kinds of things. So we're just in that phase of no sleep. Man, no sleep changes you. It changes a person. It's like they always say, you know, you find out what you're made of when tragedy hits. It's like, no, you find out what you're made of when sleep deprivation comes into your life.
After that episode, you know, we're like, okay, you know, after babies come, you'll be back on tour. You know, life is good. You know, we'll catch up. We'll finally get to meet in person and you know, all that. And then other stuff happened. Other life happened in the middle of all that.
Yeah. And that global pandemic thing, too. Yeah.
Something little.
Yeah.
But I remember one thing that you said after we recorded that episode and stuff is like, oh, man, you got to meet Keith, your husband Keith, who's with Toby Mac and producer, all the stuff there. It's like, oh, man, you got to meet Keith. You're going to love him. Somewhere in the middle of all that whole pandemic stuff, I got that chance to actually meet Keith and hang out with Keith. And you were right.
I told you he's likable. He's a good one.
It's kind of fun to see, like, to get the chance to meet Keith, hear some of the stuff behind the music. You've had a couple EPs. I think you're nominated for a We Love last year, and we're still waiting on nominees this year. So we'll see what happens with this year, because I know you've released new music.
Yeah. I feel like we've released a lot of new music. I feel like we're releasing new music all the time. This year, I think we've done, I don't know how many songs. It feels like a lot. And then, the Christmas EP just came out too. So it's exciting. It's good. I love writing and putting out music. It's such a great outlet and a good process for me. I mean, I just enjoy it. I enjoy that aspect of it. It's not the end all for me. It's not the main thing for sure. If I never did music again, I would be okay. But it's the ministry side of it. And so the doors that music opens in a person's life and heart to be able to allow God to work in those areas of people's hearts, that is what gets me going in the morning. And so I love music for that reason, and I hope I get to do it for a long time. But essentially, it's just helping people find freedom that really, really motivates me. Man, I want to do that till the day I die. I want to be a part of God doing that for people till he calls me home.
Well, I love that you say that, because with this journey that I've had with the podcast and all this stuff, just bringing my daughter along and letting her see that side of it, just seeing the heart from the artist that put out the music and just watching her in the back seat. I know I've sent you a video here then, here and there, with when she's been just singing her lungs out to your music.
Yeah.
just seeing her do that in the back seat and just seeing her get into that and all that is just so incredible. That's one of the things I love about this podcast, is just being able to share that heart. It's not just, hey, bring in the Bennies. I'm just doing this. It's a job. Like, I just do this, whatever. But just that heart and that ministry behind it is just, I think, some of the power.
If it's just a job for you, you're not going to last, because it's too hard. It's too hard to tour and be away from your family and do all that. If you're not called to it and you don't have a heart for it, I feel like you pay for it in a way in your life. And I think my husband and I, we both feel really called to it. We feel a lot of purpose in what we're doing. And there's nothing greater than living out your calling in front of your kids and showing them a life dedicated to the service of God's people and to God's heart for the world. And I think there are challenges that come to that, and you always have to have your priorities straight. Family's always got to come first, because if it doesn't, the ministry can ruin your family. Keith is a pastor's kid, so we already have that sort of perspective of what that can do to a person when you're not careful. And so I think it's a very special opportunity as a family to be able to serve God together in this way. We also approach it gingerly and carefully, because we don't want our kids growing up resentful that mommy and daddy weren't there because they went to tell people about Jesus. We want them proud of us and proud that we're telling people about Jesus, not resentful of it.
Well, in the middle of all this too, you guys, I think, moved, and Keith got a brand new studio. So that probably doesn't hurt with you being able to release and produce. And
yeah, so we had a studio in our house that we moved from, but it wasn't conducive to horns and full bands. And so there was a studio up about 30 minutes from where we live that we also worked out of. So we worked out of both simultaneously. And then the person who owned the studio, the larger tracking room, decided to sell, and it made more sense for us to buy it than rent a space. And so we did move, and it's been interesting because we've always lived in Franklin. And so moving a little bit outside of Franklin has been different for us, but it's also awesome because our kids are getting to experience diversity in a new way. In Franklin, I don't want to come off the wrong way, but they just see a bunch of white people who are well off, So I love that they are when we go to the grocery store, that they are exposed to different cultures and different people and different classes of socioeconomic status and even politics. I mean, it's like they're just getting an experience now that I really wanted for them. And so moving from Franklin away, a little bit away from our church and the people that we're really close to and everything, like we tried to maintain that. So it was hard to leave that, but it wasn't hard to walk into the situation we're in now because we wanted that for them. So that's been really sweet.
So I got to take a quick pause with that one. I just got the Nashville experience this last weekend a little bit. I think what a lot of people don't understand is that Nashville is Music City and you have Broadway, which I only lasted about 20 minutes on Broadway. Yeah. I walked down and up and let's go.
Yeah.
I was out.
It's done.
But there's just so many suburbs and a lot of CCM tends to gravitate towards Franklin, which I've noticed. And that's about 20, 30 minutes south of Nashville.
Yes.
Brentwood. So a lot of us that aren't from the Nashville area think, you know, it's all Nashville. It's all like in the city and all that kind of stuff. But it just blows my mind just how separate some of the stuff is, how much space that there is that all this happens around.
Yeah, it really is super spread out. I don't think you could survive here without a car. But yeah, Franklin is definitely a hub for a lot of CCM artists and a lot of country artists. A lot of people move there because it's such a safe and family friendly. There's always stuff to do with your people. And it's just a super cute little downtown too. We lived in downtown when we were there. So it was awesome just walking around all the restaurants and stuff like that. But like I said, I think long-term it's more important for us, for our kids to experience diversity and for them to grow up knowing what other people go through. That's what we really wanted. So we're excited about that.
And especially after this last year and a half, just all that we've seen, that's really crossed my mind as we're raising, you know, just having some of those tough conversations with my 10-year-old.
Yeah.
We've seen the effect this last year of just being only with a small group of people and with the same mindset. And we've just seen so much of that division and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And just to have that ability to talk to other people, to see other cultures, to see. So in our area, in the southern edge of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, I mean, we have that. You know, we have a diverse neighborhood here. We have some lower income. We have some higher income. Some really high income in our area.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like my daughter's day to day. Just realizing the importance of being able to tell her the stories and just listen to things that are different than us, you know, just one, our perspective or one side of history or whatever it is. Yeah. Like we've got to really have that whole picture in order to be very well rounded. And I think we've seen the effect of not having full pictures and not.
Yeah.
Really digging into that. We've really seen the effect of that this last couple of years.
Yeah. And I love the fact, you know, our neighbors on one side are Indian and then we have Iranis on the other side. And then down the street, we have a Thai family. And it's like, I love the fact that Levi gets to ask me about what they're wearing, like, and other cultures. And then he has a world map puzzle, like a floor puzzle by Melissa and Doug. And I love that I get to show him, hey, like this is where their family is from. And this is where these friends used to live. I love that. And I think we get a little bit bogged down by, you know, just black versus white here in the US and all that. But man, the fact that we have a giant Latino section in the grocery store and I can explain that to him. Like he hears people speaking in Spanish or speaking in another language. I love that. And I want him to experience the world and see God's goodness and beauty in everything that he sees. That was really important to me growing up. And so I'm excited to experience that with him.
So now that we're towards Thanksgiving, I got to ask, is there any new Thanksgiving traditions that you guys have developed now that you have this extra layer to the mix?
I don't think so, Jake. I think we're just hanging on for dear life. I mean, we are on the roller coaster, and if we show up on Thanksgiving and there's food on the table, I think we're doing great. If everyone has gotten a shower or a bath that day, we're winning in life.
Just getting there is half the battle.
Yeah, totally. If everyone's dressed and has the same socks or shoes on, it's great.
It'll be interesting to see what our Thanksgiving is, because my wife, Jess, she's always the I've got to be on timer. Like, she hates being late. And I'm kind of the, like, as long as I'm close, we're good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't be, like, super late. And so that's always been a thing for us.
I just don't want to hold people up when they're hungry. That's, you know what I mean? There's nothing worse than that. Like, you don't want to be late to a meal when people are hungry and everyone's waiting on that last guest to show up and they're mad at you when you come in because they're starving. That's not what you want.
So we've turned from Jess being like the always got to be on timer to now it's like, okay, we have a baby. We have the two babies. Like, we're hoping for the best here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it.
So let's talk a little bit about this Christmas EP. I still think it's too early for Christmas. This is like always a common theme around for me this year, time of year.
You should see my house right now. We just shot a Christmas video. So it's literally like Santa threw up in here. It looks crazy. There's a Christmas tree in every room and sometimes multiple ones.
It's something that my wife has had to adjust to because she's like the really Christmas. And I've had to implement this like no the Christmas before Thanksgiving. If I haven't had my pumpkin pie, and if I haven't had my stuffing, we aren't even thinking about Christmas.
Got it. See, for those of us who work in churches and stuff, Christmas is a really busy season. So if I don't decorate early, I'm out so much, I don't get to really be at home and enjoy it. So I try to decorate early every year just so we actually get some time in front of the tree because December is so crazy for us. But no judgment on anybody who decorates before or after. To each their own.
It's always that weird time of year where, like I said, we're celebrating Thanksgiving, but we also have our like our eye on Christmas and
what
we've got to do. Like, have I got my shopping done yet? Like, just the Black Friday. My mom is already planning her Black Friday, and I just can't even think about it. They do, like, this whole huge Black Friday situation, and I can't do it.
Yeah, I've never done Black Friday. We did go to Walmart one year just to experience what it was like. And it was crazy. I mean, we didn't even like stay up and camp out or anything. We just went like in the middle of the day and most of the stuff was already gone, but people were out of their minds, man. It was nuts. But yes, Christmas album. I'm so excited because I've wanted to do one for so long and it sounds incredible. Thanks to my husband, because he's such a great producer, but I feel like he has such a corner on Christmas. He just does such a great job with Christmas music, with his horns and strings and all that, his musician mastermind going at it. It really is a beautiful record. I feel like it's a good balance between some fun songs, some worshipful songs, jazz standards, stuff like that. So I think it's like a variety show, which I love. So I hope everybody likes it. I do. I've been listening to it, which I don't listen to my own music normally because, you know, by the time you're done with it and by the time you sing it a lot, you know, you don't necessarily want to sit around listening to it. But we have been listening to it a lot in our house and my kids really like it. So it's been fun.
And I love the fact that you're talking about horns and stuff. It just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of horns in music these days, like that jazz is almost a lost art. And I know that there's stuff that I, you know, culture and stuff that I don't see about that. But I mean, just kind of like the mainstream. Just seems like if it's there, it's kind of still a novel, still kind of a special thing.
Well, what's interesting is I think there's far more than we realize. And then when you have a husband who does horns like I do, like when you have a husband, Jake, who does horns, no, I'm just kidding, you realize you start hearing it in stuff that you didn't even know. And so like even on Christian radio, the amount of songs with horns in them are, it's crazy. And then even with Bruno Mars and people like that on the secular side, I hate to use that word, but on that side of things, it's like, there's a lot more than you think.
Well, I follow Keith on Instagram as well and just see some of the arrangements and stuff that he has and just the mastery in that. It just blows my mind. Just the layers and just that ability and that creativity.
I describe him as a freak of nature because it's so crazy that one person is that good at so many different things. It's just not fair.
It really isn't. I mean, I can play guitar somewhat. I can play bass somewhat and then I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
You have someone like Keith that has like a workshop. I'm the kind of guy at a concert that looks and is listening to different parts or watching the guitar player and his pedal board or seeing what is on stage and all that. So that's always been my personality. Jess hates it. She's like, just shut up and watch the concert. Just enjoy. But you see Keith over there, and I've seen this for years before I've met you guys too. Just that whole lab that he has over there when he's on tour with Toby Mac. It's just
his whole station. It is like a lab. It's a whole planet over there that he has set up. Just when you think that he's done adding to it as his wife, I know, like, he'll kind of be like, you know, babe, I think I need to get this. But thankfully for him, I'm not an anti-gear wife in any form, but sometimes I do have to say, okay, well, maybe you should sell something before you buy something different.
He has an excuse. My problem is I don't have the excuse. I can't say, I need this for my job, because that excuse just doesn't fly. So
that's funny.
I do get that side eye every time. Like, I have a severe Guitar Center cap. Like, I can't go in with my credit card.
That's probably wise.
My wife sees me browsing Sweetwater. I get kind of that side eye.
See, I throw them away. The catalogs that come in the mail, I throw them away before he can even see them. They go straight into the recycle because I don't even want to put things in his head, you know? Yeah. So I just throw them away.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, Christmas is coming up, so there's a Christmas wish list for that. I feel like that's what Christmas wish lists are for.
I feel like he gets his Christmas wish list with gear all year long, though. So Christmas, I feel like he should get something different, like pocket knife or a pen or, I don't know, something really random that he wouldn't buy otherwise.
That's hilarious. Well, just really appreciate you spending the time with us here, Tasha. And I hope Thanksgiving is good, super filling. Hoping for a little bit of turkey coma for all of us.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I just did an event in Virginia last week, I think, and part of the meal was a Thanksgiving meal. And man, it got me in the mood for Thanksgiving. I was like, okay, bring it on. All the things, turkey gravy, dressing, macaroni and cheese, green bean casserole, like, oh my gosh, just, I love it. I love food and I love to eat. I love to cook. I love it all.
I think we did this way too close to lunch. Now that we're sitting here talking about this.
I am getting hungry.
Oh, we better go before we like have to stop for lunch here.
Well, thanks for having me, Jake. I'm so honored to be asked to be on here and anytime.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.